10 years ago this year, Bishop Pierre Claverie of Oran was killed by Islamic militants in Algeria. His death came amidst a turbulent moment in the country's history when Islamists poised to win elections failed to gain power. Journalists, teachers, critics, and Christians, including 7 Trappist monks, were among the 150,000 people who died in the widespread violence. Fellow Dominican Father Jean-Jacques Perrenet is the author of a best-selling biography about Bishop Claverie. He spoke to me about his friend's legacy in interfaith friendship and the lessons it can give us at a time of globally strained relations between Christians and Muslims.
I have had the chance of living with him in Algeria before he was a bishop. As a Dominican, we share the same community life in Algiers. And then when he became bishop, I found that he was a great inspiration for my own work, you know, in the area of interreligious dialogue. This is why when he died, I felt important to explain the message of his life, of his given life.
How many years then did you know him?
Well, we met each other maybe in 30 years ago. So he died 10 years ago, so at least during 20 years, he ordained me priest, for example, and we are good friends, yes. Mm.
And you wanted to publish this book on the anniversary of his death?
The book was published already a few years ago, but now, at the 10th anniversary of his death, I'm very impressed to see that it seems that his message is still very relevant for our days. In Algeria, for example, in Oran, where he was a bishop, we had a little meeting in a little congress, let us say symposium, in June. And we have been very surprised to see many Muslims coming to attend this congress. We have been for 2 days more than 400 people, and maybe 250 were Muslims. So it's very interesting to see that 10 years of his death, of the death of the Catholic bishop, this means still something for people then there in Algeria.
Before we get into his life, let's talk about how he died.
You know, Algeria went through 10 years very hard, you know, in the 90s, when the Islamists tried to impose in Algeria an Islamic regime. And they started to kill everyone who would represent an open country. For example, they killed many women who used to speak and to work. And they killed many journalists, intellectuals. And they killed as well some religious Catholic who was a symbol of the possibility of having an Algeria which is not only Muslim. And this is why I think he was killed, because he was somebody who spoke very strongly as well against this idea of having a closed country.
And this was back in the 1990s, which was also a period where we saw the killing of 7 Trappist monks.
Exactly. They were killed the same year. Pierre was killed in August, and the monks were killed in May, 96.
So how did the bishop react to the killing of the monks? Because he was obviously there in the country at the time. Was he concerned for his own life?
Yes, he was certainly concerned for his own life, and when I met him, I found him very, you know, a bit worried, but I think he was more concerned for the situation of his country, because like many Algerians, he didn't want a country which would reject everything which is different. And he was very sad for the death of the monks, because the monks, you know, were very simple people, living in the country, praying. They were not involved like he was in official statement, public statement. And for him, and for many Muslims, you know, Algerian Muslims, killing these monks has really been a shame, you know. And I know many Muslims who are very ashamed by that.
Tell me, Bishop Claverie was an Algerian European.
Yes.
And he grew up part of his life in Europe and part of his life there
in
Algeria?
No, he was born in Algeria in 1938 and lived most of his life, except 8 or 9 years of studies abroad. But what is interesting is that he grew up, as many Europeans in Algeria, without meeting what he called later the other.
Mm.
He was like, you know, like often we are in little groups, you know, on like a club, you know, and mm-hmm. the Europeans were together, the Muslims were in another part of the city.
Mm.
And it is only at the age of 20, when he became a religious, that he opened his eyes and discovered that the world was more different and more interesting as well.
Mm.
And so this became as like a challenge for his life, really. He started to learn Arabic, which he didn't know. And then he started to understand what is Islam. He started to make friendship with many Muslims. And for him, friendship became a key, very important, to open the hearts and to make possible the relationships. And then he was involved in the work of the church in Algeria. As you know, there are very few local Christians. But the church tried to be a witness of the gospel just by sharing the life of the people, helping those who are in need, and welcoming everyone. So he worked in the church and then became a bishop in 81 for 15 years before he died.
And he was in Oran. What kind of city was that?
Oran is one of the second or the third city of the country, in the north of the near the Mediterranean Sea, near Morocco as well, the Moroccan border. It's a quite nice city with very few Christians, but Pierre was able to develop a lot of relationships with the people in Oran. It was very amazing to see this year, 10 years back afterwards, that still many, many people of the city remember his presence and his message.
Mm. I read also in some notes on your biography there of him that his funeral was full and mostly even of more of Muslims than Christians.
Exactly. And the Muslims were crying as much as we are crying, mm. you know. It was very moving to see that his death had really a strong sense for all of us, you know, not only for the Christians. And some friends, Algerian Muslims, told us he was not only your bishop, he was our bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very moving, because they are Muslims and they want to remain Muslim, I mean. And Pierre was very clear on that. He said, I'm not here to try to pick few guys like that and bring them to the church.
Mm-hmm.
We are all looking together, walking towards God, and let us do it as well as we can and together.
You know, I may be wrong, but I don't remember hearing of any other assassinations or murders of Christian religious following his death.
Exactly, he was the last one. He used to say in the last years, every morning I start my day by praying and asking God, nobody will be killed today. And the friend who collected his this from him said maybe he would add, and if somebody has to be, I should be the last one. But he has been the last one, really.
And Bishop Clavaret, his vision of a new world, let's say, of relations between people of different cultures, different faiths, was all, it sounds to me, based on becoming friends.
Yes.
Getting to know your neighbor.
Friendship, and as well being convinced that, as Lumen Gentium said, the spirits of God, the Holy Spirit, speaks everywhere out of the border of the visible borders of the church. And I think Pierre was, in that sense, quite original in his vision of the interreligious dialogue. As you know, after Vatican II and Nostra Aetate, we have developed in the church lots of important meetings, councils, things like that, to promote the dialogue. And I think this has been important. But Pierre used to say, often we use empty words. For example, we say, oh, we are all the sons of Abraham. Yes, but we keep fighting. So he used to say, we don't have yet the words, the real words for dialogue. Let us start by addressing together the common challenges of the world, justice, reconciliation, and then we build friendship and we build relationships, and afterwards maybe we can progress in the field of interreligious dialogue. He had a quite personal vision and mm-hmm. approach of this issue.
And how did he actually put that into action, into words himself?
You know, when the French had to leave Algeria in 62, the churches became empty.
But why? Because they were
filled
with French?
The Christians were French. The French left, so there are no more Christians in the country, very few ones. But Pierre said, let us use these places to do things together. So he opened the doors of his church in some ways, and his everything they had, to develop these places for working together on reconciliation.
But they weren't just talk shops inside
the
churches.
No, not talks. No, for example, you know, in the third world country, often in a family there are 8-10 children, they have no space to study. So let us give them just a hall, a reading hall. And we provide books if it's needed, even without books, but a hall, silence, chairs, tables. It's very simple. But it offers something people need, you know. Promotion of women as well. For example, women, as you know, in the Muslim countries often live at home, but they need some education, they need to get some skills, you know, and the church can help to give them that. So they used to do that.
He used to invite them in.
Yes. And not only him, I mean, it's a policy of the whole church mm-hmm. in Algeria mm-hmm. till now.
Mm-hmm. How much was this aimed at becoming friends and how much was aimed at evangelizing and trying to encourage people to turn to Christianity?
You know, the past of the relationships between Christian and Muslim is so difficult that it's very difficult till now to speak of a real mission of evangelization because the Muslim world is very afraid of proselytism. They feel we first have to respect them for what they are. So Pierre used to say, we don't want to proselyte. We want first to be with you witnesses of God's love. And there is a lot to do, you know, just to be witnesses of God's love. And for example, sharing the daily life, remaining in the country when it was dangerous to be there.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a great, great sign of love of the people and of the country, you know. And I see that 10 years afterwards that the people didn't forget that, you know. A Muslim scholar from the university said, well, you have been with us in the hard times. Dear brothers and sisters, be sure that this is your country. It was beautiful to hear that from a Muslim, you know, because, as you know, there are other people today who wants to get rid of everything which is different, which is not Muslim, which is not, you know.
What would the bishop say today if he were here? Seeing the tensions between, in a way, between the West and the East.
Yes, he used to say, I think he would say what he said already, let us be conscious of the heaviness of the past.
What do you mean by heaviness?
You know, we had the Crusades, we had all these things, you know, the Muslims invading other countries, coming to Vienna, all the tensions, violence. Let us be conscious of that and let us try to heal the wounded memory of people and countries and human groups, you know. There's a lot to do in the area of healing the memory. This is why we have tried to use this 10th anniversary of his death to address this issue of healing. The violence now is more or less over in Algeria, but 150,000 people have been killed. And many women don't know till now who has killed their husband, their son, their daughter. People want to know. You heard of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa.
Yes.
You know what's going on in Rwanda, you know. Mm-hmm. We see that now in Iraq, in Kosovo. You know, there is a deep need in our world of healing process. And I think...
It's one thing, though, to talk about a healing process in a way, at a political and social level in Algeria, and another thing altogether to talk about a healing process between Christians and Muslims and Jews over the Crusades and over the Islamic invasion of Europe.
But I think we have to dare to address this difficult issue as well, you know. Let us sit together, let us do things together. We can build, you know, real friendships and relationships together.
But how do you do that?
Just being there. Mm. Just being there. Often people tell us, oh, are you not afraid? We don't have to be afraid. Maybe there are some risks sometimes, but, you know, this is the gospel as well, you know. We have to share life with people. And there is a lot of joy, you know, just to be there with people, to enjoy their happiness, to suffer when they are sad, you know, just to be with them. And then you enter in a better knowledge and you see that in their religion They have good things, and they see that in our religion we have good things as well.
How do people like me, like my family, like anybody who's living a life with a family and work and so on, how do we translate your missionary work into our own personal lives?
Yes, I know that it's maybe more difficult for you living here in Europe or in the States, but often I see that we are afraid to meet the other, you know. Or say, oh, there are many Arabs in the country, there are many Muslims, but do you know one of them? Start by one, or do something with one or two of them, and you will discover that there is, maybe it will be fun, it will be nice, you know, to do something together. Maybe you will not achieve a great thing, but let us try. Yeah? I think it's amazing to see that in our world of globalization, we are closing ourselves in little islands, little groups, identity groups, you know. It is very strange. Maybe because people are afraid of losing their identity. And so all these migrants coming, I'm not saying it's an easy issue. I mean, we need policies in this, and I'm not saying it's not a problem. In the suburbs, in Europe, all that, I know it's very difficult. But if nobody tries to build some bridges, we are going to have a disaster. We have it already. So we need to build bridges.
And a very warm thanks there to Father Jean-Jacques Perrenet, the author of a best-selling biography about Bishop Claverie.